The following radio interviews were conducted by Tim Behrens of KJSL Radio in St. Louis during the July 2005 SDA General Conference. In this segment, we'll be speaking with Colleen Tinker.
Good morning, Colleen Tinker.
Hello.
How are you this morning?
I'm fine, thank you.
Good. Just in from California? Oh, you're still out there?
I'm still here.
Okay, all right. And you were a former Seventh-day Adventist. You were the managing editor of Adventist Today. What was that? It was an independent paper?
Right. That was an independent bimonthly magazine that was favorable to the church, but reported news and stories that the church would not normally tell. So it was kind of on the fringe of acceptability, but it was definitely loyal to the Adventist Church.
And you're currently editor of Proclamation, a magazine for inquiring Adventists, Sabbatarians, and concerned evangelicals and former Adventists. And we'll give a website and a phone number here in a few minutes where folks can get that. Why did you leave? First of all, were you born into Adventism?
Oh, yes. Third generation, for those who know how significant that is.
Mm-hmm. And why did you leave it? What was it? What was the turning point for you?
Well, my husband and I had been studying the Bible weekly with our neighbors, and with the intent that we would just, you know, have Bible studies together for the sake of knowing what the Word said. And what the back in the back of our minds, there was always the thought that they might start coming to church with us. And as we began to go through books of the New Testament, we began to realize that the Bible said things differently from the way we had been taught. And we would look at each other and say, oh my goodness, where have we gone wrong? So what happened was that we discovered the gospel, and then we discovered that Ellen White was a false prophet. And when we admitted that, everything looked different, and the Bible became a new book.
How many Adventists out there are aware that her prophecies are not 100%?
You know, I couldn't give you a percentage, but I think that a large percentage of people at this point know that there's questions about her visions and her prophecies. I think especially in the leadership, the percentage is probably pretty close to 100%.
Now, years ago, before I came to a personal relationship with Christ, I was a follower of Garner Ted Armstrong.
Okay.
And
all right.
He believed in soul sleep.
Yes.
Now, the annihilation part, I have a grasp on the eternal nature of hell.
Okay.
But as far as soul sleep, I still struggle with some areas. For instance, on the cross, when Jesus tells the repentant thief, "Today, will you be with me in paradise?" But then Jesus goes into the grave for 3 days. So you know, how does that work out? But I could be swayed either way.
Okay. I'll tell you what our studying has helped us to see. The problem in Adventism is that the soul or the spirit isn't what most Christians define it as. Now, in grade school, I was taught a formula in school, and it was this. Body plus breath equals living soul.
Mm-hmm.
Breath was not interpreted as the actual Holy Spirit. It was interpreted as what's in your nose. The air that goes in and out of your lungs. And when you die, that spirit, which comes from a Hebrew word that does usually mean wind or force or air, but is the word used for the power of the Holy Spirit, that word, they said, meant breath. And when you die, that returns to God, and your body goes to the ground, and the living soul dies.
Mm-hmm.
And the living soul was just your personality. So the argument was that there's nothing in you that is a conscious or sentient entity that can know God, that God is known in your brain. So when your body dies, your brain dies, and the resurrection then becomes a sort of recreation because nothing of you survives the grave except in the memory of God.
Mm-hmm.
So what I began to see as I began to study the New Testament is that there is something in us that actually knows God. And the word for that in the New Testament is the word pneuma, which is, I don't have the numbers right in front of me how many times it's actually used in the New Testament, but about 40 of those references are specifically to the part of a human that knows God. The other references refer to the Holy Spirit or to beings such as angels.
Mm-hmm.
So it's pretty clear that there is something in us that comes to life when the Holy Spirit indwells us when we believe Jesus. And that something is where we know God. And that something is what returns to him when we die. Now, I don't believe...
As soon as we die. Because Paul said, you know, I'd like to stay with you, and I could help you more out here, but to be with Christ is far better.
Absolutely.
So if he died and was going to be sleeping, then he lied. The Apostle Paul lied.
That's how I had to finally see it.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
So, and it has great implications. The seriousness of it is that it has great implications for the nature of sin, the nature of salvation, and the nature of Christ, at least the way it's seen in the Adventist Church. In the Adventist Church, then if the Spirit is simply breath, mm-hmm. then sin is something we inherit physically. And they can talk about spiritual death, but it's kind of a metaphor for a corrupted mind.
Mm-hmm.
And so sin becomes something that happens in your body, which means that you can perfect your body to become sinless.
Mm.
You can perfect your actions. Mm. Salvation, then, does not become something that is instant when you receive Christ, which is what we believe when the Holy Spirit comes to you and you become born again. But in Adventism, the term born again is a term that is never clearly defined and is very seldom used, because they don't understand the concept of a spirit coming to life with the quickening power of the Holy Spirit. They instead see the Holy Spirit's role in a Christian's life as being a force that then helps you to keep the Ten Commandments, which of course then, you know, fits in with the idea that sin is physical. And the reason that it's about keeping the Ten Commandments instead of the living law of God, the Holy Spirit actually in you, making you like Christ. The focus is on keeping the Ten Commandments, of course, because that includes the fourth commandment. Mm-hmm. And that's the only way they can actually say the fourth commandment then becomes a symbol of salvation. And then it has implications for the nature of Christ in the Adventist Church that has never been conclusively defined whether Christ inherited Mary's sinful flesh or not. There is disagreement. There is no official position in the church, and there are arguments about it. I mean, I can remember hearing them as I was growing up and as a young adult. So if Christ was a human, the Adventist thinking goes, and his spirit was his breath, then how do you define his sinless nature? But if you understand that the spirit is the part of you that knows God, it's easy to see then that Jesus was born alive. He was conceived by the Holy Spirit, so he was never spiritually dead. He never had sin in him.
Mm-mm, no.
So it's a completely different paradigm.
Mm. Now, it dawned on me, too, that when Jesus said, "Today you'll be with me in paradise,"
yes.
There's no time in eternity.
No, that's very true.
So he's with him throughout eternity. There's no time. It's not, you know, 8:28 in heaven.
Well, that sounds deceptive, though.
No,
it's sort of like
true.
A shell game.
No, it's true. You know, today you'll be with me in paradise. Bang! Yes. He's with them.
He's with
you know.
Him.
Yeah.
And Jesus.
To me.
No, 2 weeks ago, Jesus. Yeah, you were. You told the captives. You know, you pronounced judgment of the captives, and it's glad to have. I'm glad to have, see you're finally here.
Well, it's eternal day up there, so the sun never sets. So
yeah,
I guess.
Yeah. Now, what?
Still sounds
what?
Funny.
What to the? Do you consider them a cult?
I personally do.
Mm-hmm.
I do.
And
I know a lot of people don't like to hear that, but there's an extra-biblical authority, and the gospel that they teach is not the gospel of the Bible. It's really what Paul calls in Galatians another gospel.
Work salvation.
Yes, and it's premised on, as I just alluded to, not only works, but it's premised on a false understanding of who Jesus even really is, what his true nature is, and what his real role was in salvation.
Yeah. Do they most, you know, Ellen White said that he was the Archangel Michael.
She says, yes, that mm-hmm. is another name for Jesus. I mean, they dance around that one because they know there's not a real good support for it. So they instead they say, oh, no, he's not an angel. That's just another name for him. But they avoid the subject pretty much.
Mm-hmm.
It is absolutely a written doctrine. You know, it's not one of their 27 fundamentals, but it's absolutely one of their beliefs.
If people wanted to subscribe to Proclamation, how would they do that, Colleen?
They could do it two ways. You can email Proclamation. At Gmail, that's G as in George, gmail.com. Or they can write to Life Assurance Ministries, Post Office, Box 905, Redlands, California, 92373.
Okay, Life Assurance Ministries, Post Office Box
905. Redlands, R-E-D-L-A-N-D-S, that's one word, Redlands, California, 92373.
92373. Before we let you go, would you lift up a prayer that the light will come on in our Seventh-day Adventist friends' eyes, and they'll be able to see the true Jesus of the Bible and be set free?
Oh, I will be happy to do that.
Go ahead.
Okay. Dear Father, I pray that you will expose and break the web of deceit that holds so many people in bondage, and I pray that you will help those who are caught in Adventism to see the true Jesus of the Bible and the true nature of the security of their salvation when they trust in you. And I leave this all in your hands and praise you that you are sovereign over us all. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thank you so much, Colleen.
You're welcome.
God bless you.
God bless you, too.
Bye-bye.